Well, we are back for segment two of the Gunsmith Show here live this Saturday morning on the new 103.1 The Ticket. You know, Brittany, Dan brought up a really good point to us. The Tigers have actually been doing really good since they started broadcasting them on the station.
They have. Yeah, they're undefeated as of Monday.
What?
What?
No, not since Monday. It's Saturday. Anyways, they've been doing really, really good so far.
Monday.
No, at last, they had lost like 18 out of 22 games coming up to Monday when the station started airing.
Our friend
down.
Leon would be so upset with me. I'm just going to stop talking.
Apparently, we're not talking about sports with you anymore. So, anyways, 103.1 The Ticket. You know, I listen to the show. I like to listen to the station on the app. I have the app because it always comes in clear. So you can download the app on your phone, whether your was it Apple Store or
Google Store, Apple Play.
Anyways,
yeah, Google
whatever
Play
smartphone
Store.
You have, you can download the 103.1 The Ticket app. And really, even if you're on vacation, you're not within radio shot or within the broadcasting area, you can still get the show. So that's a great way to listen to it. As always, if you have any questions for us about the show or comments about the show, you can email us at shooter@thegss.com, or you can go to our Facebook page, The Gunsmith Show, and leave us a comment there. Make sure you like the show. And this show, along with previous shows and links to all of our advertisers, are on our website, which is thegss.com. So this segment is brought to you by Tim and the crew at Tri-County Roofing. You know, we had Tim at Diamond Jim's. Now we have Tim at Tri-County Roofing. His whole number there, 810-732-7740. Your source for any type of roofing repairs you need. Tri-County means they service your county. They don't say Lapeer County Roofing or Sanilac County Roofing. They're Tri-County Roofing. They'll handle all roofs anywhere. They'll travel in. Right now, Tim's son Dalton is doing a whole project down by the border. Down, I think it's Milan. Way down by like Dundee. Somewhere down by there, they're handling a whole big roof project. So they will travel to whatever Tri-County you're in to handle the roofing. So, again, Tri-County Roofing, 810-732-7740. We trust him with our roof, and you should trust him, too. Now, honey, today is June 6th. What does that date ring up to you?
June 6th.
Besides the birthday party you have later.
Well, yeah. D-Day.
Yeah, it's D-Day. Yep. Right. So, 82 years ago today was D-Day. And, you know, it changed the outcome of World War II in huge ways. Did you know that an estimated 4,414 Allied troops were confirmed as killed on D-Day?
I did not know that.
And a lot of them never even, you know, sadly, it's one of those things where a lot of them never even made it off the beach, right? It was just a very traumatic day. So there was 2,501 Americans, 1,449 British, 391 Canadians, and 73 others from other Allied nations all unfortunately lost their lives that day in the war. Total Allied casualties. Now, this is killed, wounded, and missing for that single day was over 10,300 by estimates. That's one day, right?
That's so many people.
That's a lot of people. Yeah. And we're, you know, they don't forget, we won that day. So I'm sure more Germans died, too.
But still, it's not.
That's the, and we have friends that have been to the Allied cemeteries in Normandy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you know.
It's incredible.
It's an incredible thing to witness. So, anyways.
Very somber.
Very somber. I shouldn't say incredible. Very somber.
Yeah, I feel like incredible
is the wrong word. Somber would be the word for it. So. And every now and then, you will still, you know, they're much older now. They're nearing 100, if not older than 100, or late, you know, they lied about their age in the late 90s. You will every now and then see a D-Day veteran and something to not take for granted or have the opportunity to meet one. Or maybe your father, your grandfather, or even maybe your grandmother served as nurses or workers and so take all of that for granted, and, you know, we thank them all for their service, and Certainly a very groundbreaking, traumatic day for sure. Now, the top, you know, being at the Gunsmith Show, I wanted to just do a little bit about this. So here's the letter that General Dwight Eisenhower said in his to the troops that day. And I think really, besides a couple of the wording changes based on who the enemies are today, it still resonates with a lot of people today. So I'm going to read this off to you. Soldiers, sailors, and airmen of the Allied Expeditionary Force, you are about to embark upon the great crusade towards which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hope and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you. In company with our brave allies and brothers in arms on other fronts, you will bring about the destruction of the German war machine, the elimination of Nazi tyranny over the oppressed peoples of Europe, and security for ourselves in a free world. Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened. He will fight savagely. But this is the year 1944. Much has happened since the Nazi triumphs of 40 to 41. The United Nations have inflicted upon the German great defeats. In open battle, man-to-man, our air offenses has seriously reduced their strength in the air and their capacity to wage war on the ground. Our home fronts have given us an overwhelmingly supportive superiority in weapons and munitions of war and placed at our disposal great reserves of trained fighting men. The tide has turned. The free men of the world are marching together towards victory. I have full confidence in your courage, devotion to duty, and skill in battle. We will accept nothing less than full victory. Good luck. And let us beseech the blessing of Almighty God upon this great and noble undertaking. Pretty powerful words.
Very powerful.
Especially when you realize they were in England loading on the boats, going into what they knew was our, you know, our main first foray into ground battle in Europe. In France, into, you know, mainland Europe. So now, Dwight Eisenhower, of course, went on to be president. He died, I think, in 1969. You know, being Supreme Allied Commander, five-star general, went on to presidency. Now, as a president, typically, you have certain guns that are gifted, I'll say, to you. People will give you things. And most of the time, it used to be, you know, Weatherby always gave these beautiful Mark V deluxe rifles to presidents and different brands would make shotguns and, you know, just things like that, because as the president, people give you gifts. Well, some of the things, Eisenhower actually had a gun given to him before he was president. And we've seen this gun, Brittany. We saw this in Springfield, Missouri at that Bass Pro Shops Museum.
It was an incredible museum.
So this was a gift to president, he was a general then. To Eisenhower from the head of Coca-Cola, because apparently back then the head of Coca-Cola, I mean, Coke was obviously in Atlanta, had a farm outside of Atlanta back, if you can believe it now, back in the 50s, I would imagine, maybe the late 40s. And Eisenhower would travel down there and go hunting with him on his farm. And this was a personal gift. It's a Winchester Model 21 shotgun. This is a side-by-side 20 gauge. Incredible, again, incredible walnut, the beautiful early 1900s Winchester bluing, has five stars in gold on the bottom of the receiver. Hunting, I think it's a, I can't tell if it's a partridge or a pheasant engraved on the sides, and then DDE, his initials, engraved on the bottom of the trigger. So and it's a beautiful rifle, a beautiful shotgun. So, and even at his farm in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, Eisenhower even had a skeet field placed there. Now, Eisenhower also had Camp David redone, and it was his son's name was David.
Didn't he not have any legs either?
No, that was Rose. No, no.
Oh, that was
Roosevelt had polio.
Oh, right. No, this was
two presidents after that.
This is why Jacob talks about the history stuff and the sports stuff. I'm just here for him to look at.
Anyways. So they had skeet. He had a skeet field installed at his house, and then he was pivotal in having the skeet field or skeet area placed at Camp David, the presidential retreat as well, which is interesting. And over the years, different presidents and foreign dignitaries have used that too. So that's the his Model 21, which if you want to see it, it's in Springfield, Missouri at the NRA Sporting Arms Museum at the Bass Pro Shops there. Now, the other one.
There's a lot of really cool things at that museum, too.
That's where they have a lot of the
presidential guns. Beautiful museum, yeah.
Now, the other one that I've seen of his, which you weren't there with me. Years ago, I went out to Cody, Wyoming with my grandfather, and we went to the Buffalo Bill Historical Museum, which has a lot of the other museums in it. And one of those is the Cody Firearms Museum, where they have other presidential guns. And the other one that Eisenhower had was gifted to him during the seventh year of his presidency. So this would have been 1959, he was gifted a Winchester Model 1894, superbly engraved. This gun has a gold deer on the side. And this is that, you know, Winchester engraving where it's like someone spent probably months doing the scrolls and the markings on this receiver. Serial number on this gun was, I'm just counting the zeros here, 2.5 million. So they also gave him the 2.5 millionth numbered 1894 Winchester, which is a big deal. This was the first sporting rifle to reach such a huge production number, and they gifted it to the president fully engraved. The gun was just, it's beautiful to see, and of course it's in a museum where it should be seen. And you know, as much as I think these guns should be used, a gun of this prestige, it's nice to be shown off and people can see it and say, oh, yeah, wow, that was certainly a presidential gun for sure.
Well, I don't think all guns are made to be used. I think a lot of them are made to be, like, commemorative or, you know, like the more intricate-looking ones. Like, people collect them.
I agree. They have certainly
there are guns for use, and there are some for, you know.
Same, like, with cars.
Yeah.
Same with
coffee mugs.
Yeah, that's true. I have a lot of coffee mugs I don't use. I just look at.
For beautiful display. Because you bought them because you thought they were really cool.
That's true. And that's really what this gun is. So, and as most of the things, I believe there's a law about when things are gifted to the president during his tenure, I think those have to be put into a museum. I remember something about they can't receive a gift over a certain amount of money. Presidents can't. And that's why a lot of these things go back to museums. And so, but anyways, I thought because it is an anniversary of D-Day, 82 years ago, do a little thing about Eisenhower and then some of his guns as well. So.
Yeah, it was a great idea.
Yeah, so just some of the topics there. Now, when we come back here on 103.1 The Ticket with the Gunsmith Show, we're going to talk a little bit about some increases in background checks, how gun sales are up year over year. Who would have thought? Americans have more guns now than ever, which is a great thing. But we'll be right back with more of the Gunsmith Show with Brittany and Jacob right here on Saturday, June 6th. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.